Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
There's something about that name, Jesus. It's the sweetest thing I know. Thank you. thank you, Lord.
Oh. Him because of who he is. He's all Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Emmanuel. He is all Jehovah God, the one who sits high and the one who sees low, looks low. So we are so grateful, the songwriter says, there's something about the name of Jesus. Oh, my God, actually, something about the name of Jesus. When you call that name, something happened in your spirit, man. Hallelujah. There's a joy that take over your soul. that no demon can prevent, can hinder when you call on Jesus, when you call on his name. And you don't have to wait till you're in trouble to call upon his name. Hallelujah. You can call upon his name any time of the day, any time of the night, any time you can call on him, and he will answer. He's always waiting and willing to answer us. Glory to God. When we are happy, when we are sad, when we are going through storms, when the wind is good, when the weather is good, he's willing to answer us in any situation. Father, we just thank you. We're just so excited about you, Lord, because there's no other God like you, God. You're the one who comforts us, the one who shields us, the one who protects us, O Lord, the Lord, one who gives us all our needs, O God. You're the one who heals, O God. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord. It's a joy just to call upon you, O God. Oh, God, we call upon you just to tell you how much we love you, how much we adore you because you first loved us, O God. Even when we didn't love ourselves, you loved us, O God. Oh, Father, I just praise you this morning, and I lift up your name, O God. You said if you be lifted up from the earth, you'll draw all men unto you. And you were lifted up on that day on Calvary, O God, cross. And you drawing men and women, boys and girls to you, true that because you were lifted up. And you gave your life for every soul, O God, that will call upon you in repentance. This day, O God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy and we ask your grace, God. We repent for every thought, every word, every action, every deed, O God, known or not known, God. We ask you to look upon us in the frailty of our stature and have mercy upon us, God. Let us not speak a word that did not come from heaven by the Spirit or through these 66 books, O God. Every word that we speak on today and every day, God, let it glorify your name. We want it to glorify you and exalt you, O God. Edify your body of believers and terrify the devil and all of his agents. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Today, we got an uncommon message that I want to deliver to you today. I think I ministered this message somewhere in 2013, but I ministered from, but on this, on walking in the Spirit. But today I want to minister from the point of view of the power of sin has been broken at the cross. The power of sin has been broken at the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to destroy the works of sin and set man free. Because sin is or was the main objective of God's coming here to the earth. Because sin had mankind in bondage, and there was no way that mankind can get out without paying a debt. You had to pay, there was consequences for the sin. So Jesus had to come from, leave his home in glory and come into time to set mankind free from sin. And you say, well, wow, how come everybody, so many people are still sinning? Well, everybody don't want to be set free. It's the ones that call upon him in repentance that want to be free. You know, people say, well, some people tell, well, I want to be free, but they're still doing what they're doing. Because what they're doing suffice, and I talk about this a lot on Blog Talk Radio, it suffices their flesh. And, you know, it's satisfied. Just suffice is just a short word for satisfied. It satisfies the flesh, that craving in the flesh, just like when we were using crack cocaine or marijuana or drinking cognac or gin or vodka or whatever the alcohol or beer that was your choice. You know, you had that craving in the flesh that make you, even though you say, I don't want to smoke anymore, I don't want to drink anymore, I don't want to go with that girl anymore, I don't want to date that man anymore, you still find yourself doing the very thing that you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. Paul says, every time I want to do good, evil is present. So you understand that this thing is there. It is there. So the only way that we can get over this and conquer sin in our flesh, because Jesus conquered sin at the cross. He did the work at the cross for us, but now we have to conquer it now. In other words, how do we conquer it? I'm glad you asked the question. We have to call upon Jesus in repentance. We say that every day here on Blog Talk Radio. We got to call upon Jesus in repentance and give our life completely over to him. Completely mean completely, not a part way, not 99 and a half. There's some Pickett sing a song years ago when I was a young man in the Caribbean. He sing a song 99 and a half wouldn't do. And he's a man. He said 99 and a half wouldn't do. Got to have 100. So how much you think that God wants? If a man wants 100, what do you think God wants? He wants more than 100. Hallelujah. He wants more than 100. But we would give God, I always say we give God a leftover. We give him the leftovers. When we got to pay tithes, we say, well, I got to pay this bill. I want this new pair of shoes. I got to get these rims for my car. I want to get some new tires for my car. Or I want to get this new TV, a curved TV, a flat screen, or whatever you want to get. And they said, whatever's left over. You said, well, when I go to church on Sunday or Saturday, you know, I'm going to give this to the house of the Lord. I'm going to give this to God. You give God the leftovers. But when we want a raise, we are praying for God for more. God, I want more. You want the best raise that you can get, the best position that you can get, the nicest car that you can get. You want your wife, your children, and all of them to progress. You understand? And you don't want God to just give them just a little bit. My granddaughter came out of college with honors and a degree, you know, because even when she felt like she couldn't do it, I said, no, you can do it, because everything that's in you gives you the power to do, to be successful in everything that you do. So, you know, because I put in so much, not boasting of me, I put in so much because God has put in more than enough. So I try to put in as much as I can. This morning I had to drop her to her job, and for some reason she don't want to drive. All of her school mates and college mates, they all got license, and she started learning to drive. Then she just give it up, just didn't want to learn no more, you know. And she have cars at her fingertip, but she just don't want to drive anymore. So can I say I got to drive all the time? When her schedule changed, I got to move around. So instead of coming on at 11:30, I come on at 12 today. So anyway, we want to talk about the power of sin has been broken at the cross. Why was the sin broken there? It was broken there because you and I, all of us, had a debt, a sin debt, and it had to be paid. So what the Father did, the Father sold his Son into the earth. Into the earth. He sold his Son. You know, we talk about sowing and reaping. He sold his Son into the earth so that he can reap a harvest of our people, human beings. See, the Father had Adam and Eve, all four parents, in the garden, who he walked and talked with in the cool of the day. You'll find that in the book of Genesis. He walked and talked with them in the cool of the day. But after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that relationship was broken. Them out the garden because of sin. So sin came in the earth through the fall. So now in order to get back his family, Jesus, God always wants his family. He always wants us with him, to be with him, worshiping him, praising him. But we fall from grace and find ourselves in this world of sin, and we are worshiping. When you are doing sin and activating sin in your life, you are worshiping Satan. Do you know that? You are worshiping Satan. You may say, I don't go to a satanic temple, but all the acts that you are living in and doing is the acts belongs to Satan, so you are actually worshiping him. So God said, well, I'm going to send my Son. He's going to come out of my bosom and go to earth, and he is going to teach men how to continue to work when I bring him back home. But at the same time, he is going to give his life. Nobody can take his life because he has all power. He's God in the flesh. But he's going to lay down his life so that he can take it back at another time, so that the debt would be paid. See, Jesus has no sin at all. No sin at all he had while he was on the earth. You have some people saying that he had women and sleep with women and all that kind of foolishness. You know, because you know the devil always is accused. The Bible says he's accuser of the brethren. He accused them day and night before God. Even if you walk the best you can walk, the devil's still going to accuse you, say something bad about you. And you'll find that people, you can preach, you can teach, you can sing and dance to the word of God. There's still going to be people, some of your associates, even some of your schoolmates, sometimes some of your your family members will still say that you are not who you said you are. They're gonna come against you. Glory to God, because of the anointing, the light of God, the Spirit of God that's inside of you. It disturbed them, so they have to. He talked about Jesus. They talked about Jesus. So they're going to talk about. So let's go into this word. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6. I want to put it on two Bibles here. I got it in the New Living Translation. You know I love that. And let me go to the Logos Bible. And this is good. This is good teaching here. I'm telling you no lie. This is if you write these scriptures down and look at them on in your spare time, instead of watching the ball game, just go in there and look at these scriptures. I'll tell you, they will bless you. They will bless you. They will bless you. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verse. This is 1 to 23. You know I like to teach the whole word. So he says here, the Bible calls it sin. Sin's broken power. Sin's power is broken. So we title this, the power of sin has been broken at the cross. And Paul begins with saying, well then, shall we keep on sinning as so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? The King James Version says, so what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we that are dead to sin continue sinning? How shall we continue doing the things that displease God? You understand what I'm saying? We say we are saved. We say we are sanctified. We say we are Holy Ghost filled. We speak in tongues in the spirit. With a spiritual language, but we still find ourselves dibbing and dabbing in sin. Somebody says slipping and sliding. We still find ourselves slipping and sliding. But Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound or increase? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We cannot continue in it. Hallelujah. This is why we need to study the Word of God every single day, 24/7, every chance you get. I mean, I find myself driving, and sometimes I'm listening to some reggae music, you know. Listen to reggae gospel, and listen to reggae regular Caribbean music, you know, just to get the country feel. But I find myself, God, I just thank you. Because it reminds me that when I used to get high on reggae music, but now I can listen to it and don't have to get high because I'm high on the things of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I tell you this because a lot of people say, why he always got to talk about he used to get high? Yes, because that's my testimony. That's my best sermon. The Bible says that I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. I no longer love my life unto sin. That's what the Bible says, Revelation 12:11. That's what it says. Okay? So the more I share my testimony, the more victorious I am. That means that the more Satan no longer have power over me because sin has been broken off my life. A lot of times we want to get clean, and after we get clean, we forget that God is the one who deliver you. Not the people at Narcotics Anonymous. Not those meetings you were going to. God, he coming. We see the higher power. But he's not the higher power. He's God. Call him by his name. Jehovah El Shaddai. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Elion. Call him by his name. Hallelujah. Emmanuel. He delivered me. So I'm not ashamed to tell people, well, I used to get high and God delivered me. He delivered me. No, I'm not ashamed to do that. And I like to make it, I like to be specific, like say Jesus or Yeshua, because there's a God that rule and reign in this earth realm. His name is Satan. So when people tell them about God, you better ask them which God they're talking about. Are they really talking about the God here on earth or the Messiah, the El Shaddai? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go back in here. I feel excited already about this word. Hallelujah. We're talking this morning about the power of sin has been broken at the cross. And we're in Romans chapter 6, and I got three Bibles that I'm working with here, the King James, the Logos Bible, and New Living Translation. So here in the NLT, the third verse says, "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ in baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." No. What he's saying here is that we have been risen with Christ Jesus, and we have the same anointing, the same power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of us, and we ought to be walking in the newness of life. Hallelujah. The old man no longer have power. Oh God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. The old man no longer have power over us because the sin has been broken off of us. The blood of Jesus destroyed the working of sin that had us locked up in bondage. Do you hear me this morning? I feel like preaching now. Glory to God. Do you hear me? This is why we got to get this thing. We got to study this stuff. Just don't look for the scripture that always tells you about prosperity. What is the point of gaining the whole world and losing your whole own soul? You know, I want to have this. I want to have, I have a lot of wants, but I don't worry about them because all of my needs are being met. You understand what I'm saying? All of my needs are being met. Glory to God. So because I'm not worrying about wants. I like to have a new this and new that. All this stuff. But what you going to do with all this stuff that you get? Then people become hoarders. Because they get so much stuff, and then when they get the stuff is all over the house, all around the house, all in the garage. It's packed up, locked up. You can't even put your car in the garage because you have so much stuff that you want. You're never satisfied. You're just like hell. You always want. You keep enlarging the stuff. Tearing down the barn and putting up another barn to get more stuff, and you're not using the stuff that you have. Give away some of the stuff. Give away some of the stuff. Bless somebody with that stuff. Listen what he said. Go, glory to God. Listen. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Do you hear? I tell you that sin is broken. It is broken. Satan is still trying to whisper in our ears about our past life because he doesn't know our future. See, you ought not be concentrating so much on the present. I tell people, look, don't think about your past, because your past is called the past because it's behind you. Don't worry about the present because the present is almost gone and the future is coming. Think about the future because the future is coming upon us so fast, faster than when we first began. So focus on the future. The future is where we are going to be with our Savior. That's what we ought to be focusing on. So we're walking in this newness of life because we are looking to meet our daddy. We're looking to meet our Savior and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So we are living to live again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel you, Holy Spirit. I feel you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 7 says, "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." That's the subject right there. We were set free. He didn't say we're going to be set free. He says that for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Do you hear what he says? I like this version of this sermon. The Logos give you expanded version. But here, when I see this, when I look at this in the NLT last, I said, "God, I thank you for this. I like this." I said, "I love this. Because I'm not going to be set free." See, I got this in my spirit. It's boiling. It's just like Jeremiah said. It's like fire shot up in my bones.
See, I've got this inside of me. You ought to get this. See, let me read this again. Verse 7, he says, in the King James Version, you want to hear it, let me hear. In the King James Version, he says, for he that is dead is free from sin. That's very, very subtle. But I like it like this in the NLT. He said, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. That's enough right there to take me to the mountaintop. You don't need to give me no more gas. You don't need to put no more gas in my car. I got enough to travel with right there. Right there in that verse. I can travel from the valley to the mountaintop in that because I know that sin has no more power. Not over us. Hallelujah. It only have what you, sometimes we say, oh, you know, oh, some all real good and good, but my body just, I just feel like I got to go with Sissy so-and-so. I got to go with Brother so-and-so. I just want to have a good time. I want to let my hair down. Yes, but you do. You have no give sin the entrance back into your life. Sin cannot, oh God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Sin cannot come through the spiritual door of your life on you. You have to let sin in. The blood is protecting sin from coming, protecting you from sin coming into your life. The blood of Jesus, it covers us, I said it yesterday, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. But we sometimes open the door, so now I'm going to let sin in. I want to have a good time. You don't know you're letting sin in. But you say, I want to have a good time. Oh, Sister Joy, she's been talking to me, man, and I just got to take a ride over to her house. I got to go over to Mary's house. Because she's looking fine, and she's calling me all the time and talking. And tell me how she wants. John been calling me, and he wants to be with me. I got to go. You forget that you were covered, and you not to go back in the oldness. In that old path that you walked in before, you ought not go back there. But you find yourself want to go back there, so you open the door, because Satan can't open the door. He has power. Listen to me. Satan has power, but he cannot open the door that God closed. Because he said, I close those that no one can open, and I open those that no one can close. So Satan cannot open the door that God has closed. You have to open the door. You know, even in the time of the flood, when God told Noah to put all the animals and got his family and his sons and his daughter-in-laws and his wife inside there, and he closed the window. Noah closed the window, but God closed the door. The people were swimming all around the ark, knocking on the ark. Noah could not, even if Noah wanted to open the door, he couldn't open it because God closed it. Go back and read the book. He could not open it. He could not open the door because God would be a liar. He said, I close those that no one can open, and I'll open those that no one can close. Hallelujah. Let's go in the Word. I'm just giving you stuff as the Holy Spirit is feeding me. He said, and since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. This is why we're living. We are living now to live again. Live again where? With Christ. With Christ. But we have to live according to the instructions or the manuscript that he has put before us. We got to follow the blueprint of the word. We can't just pull up scripture where God wants us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Hey, all you thinking about is prosperity, the riches of the blessing of the Lord make it rich, and add no sorrows to it. All we're thinking about, remember the Lord that God, they give us the power to get wealth. But what? To establish his covenant. All we're thinking about getting money, getting this and getting that, bigger house, bigger car, more land, all this stuff, more jewelry. What about getting your soul right so that when you go up the road, I was going down yesterday evening, I said, well, I come from a job. I said, well, I had since last week. I felt like eating some Jamaican curry golden rice. I said, well, let me just go over to this place and get some curry golden rice. And I said, man, these three cars was coming down the road, the police cars, state troopers, regular police cars. Next day, I said, well, let me drive back. Well, I drive back to the road. One car went over the fence, and I don't know if the driver died because there were so many cars and they were backed up, so many traffic backed up. So when we got down to there, I said, one car, well, two cars beat up in the back and side, but one car went over, flipped up SUV, and it's over. Flipped over on the side and standing on the side where the driver's. So I don't know if the driver died, if he get broke a deck or whatever, but ambulance and fire trucks and everything. You know, when you leave home, when you notice that you walk in this kind of walk, I put that in there, When you know that you know that you know that you are walking this kind of walk that Paul is talking about here, you're living this kind of life, you don't have to worry. I mean, we don't want to die sudden, you know. That's why we pray against unexpected death or sudden death, you know. But if it happened that somebody lose control on the highway and we die, all of a sudden, you don't have to cry for me because I know where I'm going because I'm living to go there. I can't go there if I don't live to go there. That's why you hear me boast. I'm living to live again. Some people say, well, you're boasting. Yes, I'm boasting in Christ. I'm boasting in the word of God that says if I walk this walk, I will be rewarded. I reward if I walk, if I live it. See, he said, I got to let my light shine. See, I don't just want to talk it. I want to be it. I want to be the word. You know, Charlie Sharp, when Chevy Chase was playing the ball, playing golf, he would say, you got to be the ball. He told the young man he was teaching golf because they was going to a tournament against Rodney Dangerfield and his partner. And he told the young man, he said, you got to become the ball. He said, you got to become the ball. He said, you know, like a sound like a computer robot. He said, you got to become the ball. So what we have to do, we got to become the word of God. We have to be the living word. Hallelujah. That when people see us, they said, that's a man of God there. That's a woman of God. In the book of Kings, when the woman saw Elisha, she says, I perceive that he is a man of God. She told her husband, let's build a room upstairs for this man. Because he come by, he going all down the street. And he don't have a donkey, he don't have a camel. He's walking all the time. You know, back then, they had donkeys and camels and mules. But they didn't have no Cadillacs and limousines and Ferraris and all that stuff. So the people either walk or had camels or donkeys. And he would pass by. The woman says to her husband, said, look, I perceive this is a man of God. Let's build make a room upstairs and put a table and a lamp and a chair that he may come in the bed. You know, that he can come and stay. You know, recover from his traveling, you know, and glory to God. People will know that you are a woman of God, you are a man of God, because the way that you're living, you're not slipping and dipping, like I said earlier in the message. We're not slipping and dipping. No. He said, look, we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. No. If we are raised, if we have been buried with him and we raised with him, we shall have the same power. And sin, death, the sin shall never have any more power over us. He said, death or death, where's the sin? Where's the sin? So we got to get to this place in us where we have the confidence because we're living. It's not just saying something. We got to live it out. No one should be able to get into my head free, rent free, and start to disturb me, drawing from me and making me become spiritually weak. No. It costs too much to be where we are to let someone get up in your head and cause you not to focus. Cast down the thoughts of imagination. Hallelujah. So. When he died, verse 10, listen. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Do you hear that? The power of sin has been broken at the cross. That's our message today. That is our topic. Subtitle, walking in the spirit is a subtopic. Walking in the spirit. You said, but how can we continue to walk in the Spirit? Trust in God. Trust in God in everything that you do. Hallelujah. Yeah, now I was landing here and I was studying. And then you know how the enemy comes in. The enemy comes in the thought. And you say, well, how can he? But yet there's the enemy that don't care how strong you are. He's still going to try to get in there. He's still going to try to get a thought. He was putting thoughts in Paul's head all the time. Paul had to cast them down. He says, that's what Paul said. He said, every time I want to do right, every time I want to do good, evil is always present. You know, he said, I think to do good, and I end up doing the wrong thing. I'm just paraphrasing. And if he did it to Paul, we think, and Paul had an encounter with Christ. He's still going to try to put a thought inside our head. But we got to understand, we got to know who we are and whose we are, and we got to walk on in that realm of holiness that when Satan come by and dropping a thought, he said he'll know that the thought is not working. It's not accomplishing anything for him. So he's going to move on. The Bible said that when he leaves the house, he goes about seeking a dry place to rest. And if he can't find a dry place, he comes back to the same house that he leaves, but he don't come back by himself. He come back with seven other devils. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we have to make sure that we are cleansed. We are cleansed from all unrighteousness. We cannot allow our spirit man to become contaminated. Hallelujah. This is why you have to, we have to, not you, but we have to continue to study the word of God. The Bible says, try to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have to go into this word, and we have to study. Study with the Holy Ghost. Invite the Holy Ghost in your study. Don't go in there and think that you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. No, invite the Holy Spirit when you take up your Bible. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to come and fellowship with me. Show me what I don't know in the word, because I don't know everything. We don't know everything. We know in part. We prophesied in part. So invite the Holy Spirit to come into your study session. And I tell you, you'll sometimes find yourself shouting out while you're in the room. Do you see that? Your wife, your son, your daughter will come and jump in the room and say, Daddy, what's going on? Honey, who are you talking to? They're looking around the room to see who you're talking to. But the Holy Spirit, he's in the room. And he caused that word to come alive before your very eyes. Listen. Look. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. Why is Paul saying this? If you really die with Christ and you raise up with him, you ought to have power over your thought pattern. You ought to have key, because everything begins in the thoughts. Everything begins in your thoughts. Then you begin to think about it. Then you activate it. Then sin is in motion. But it starts in the mind, in the thoughts. This is why we got to know. So I said, Lord, I just thank you. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for giving me a right mind. Lord, I thank you. Lord, for giving me a right mind. I have the mind of Christ, and the devil can't stop me now. I have the mind of Christ, and the devil can't stop me now. You got to start. Do something. Find something. As soon as you do, look, the devil going to leave you. He going to run away with that thought that he has that's not working on you. Listen to me. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Paul is telling us that the desire is going to come up in our flesh. It's going to come up in our flesh because guess what? No. Sometimes the enemy going to send you a man. He going to send a young woman and she beautiful. Oh, her skin still got all the elasticity in it. There's no wrinkles in her. You up in your 50s, 60s, 70s, sometimes 80, and the young woman, 22, 23, 24 years old, man shining, no gray hair, nothing, no broken teeth. I mean, she just got everything in order. Now your ego going to jump up, because the pride in everything is in that ego tripping, you know, making you feel that you're more than you are. She chooses you, because devil sent her. Devil sent that man of God down there. I want you to have some desire for him. Tell him all of these words. That woman down there, I need you to get down there. The young boy go down there. She's feeling that she all there. All of this is Satan trying to derail you from the path that you're on. You're standing on holy ground, and he wants you to step off of that path that you're on, then he is able now to destroy your soul. He can't touch it until you give him entrance to it. Because that's all he wants. He don't want your body. He wants your soul. Because your body going to turn back to dirt, to clear dirt like it was in the beginning. It going back to dirt. But your soul is
what's they're fighting for. They want God wants your soul, and Satan wants your soul. He wants your soul. He wants you to be down in the pit of hell and lick of fire and brimstone, crying out with him while he crying out. He don't want to crowd alone. He don't want to moan and groan alone. He wants other people to moan and groan with him. Continuous torment. I'm telling you today, you have to know that you know that you know that sin power is broken. The power of sin has been broken at the cross. And it's been broken for you and I to have victory in Christ Jesus. People are going to come after us and come at us because why? They're not satisfied that we have joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory. Hallelujah. They're not satisfied. They have more than we have. Some of them have 5-bedroom house, 2-car garage, swimming pool, and we don't have that. But we have joy, and they are jealous because we have the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. We have this joy inside of us, this joy that the world did not give, and the world can't take it away. We have this joy, so they are jealous. You got to stand flat-footed. Don't allow them to get into your head. While they're bothering you, trying to bother you, just keep on going on your path. Don't even take a time to give them a response. They're not worthy of a response unless you're going to say, Jesus save, and keep on working. Jesus loves you. Keep on walking. Don't give him a time. Here, Paul says, oh, my God, I like this so much. Do not let any part, listen. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve it. Do you hear what he says? That means not even one part. He said, do not let any part of your body. That means you can still use some parts. Not all the parts. You don't have to use all the parts. But he said, do not let any part of your body, verse 13, become an instrument of evil to serve it. Instead, give yourself completely to God. Oh, my God. That, he said, give all of yourself, your mind, body, and soul, to God. That's what he's saying. To God. Everything. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Hallelujah. You can't serve God and mammon too. Sometimes we get discombobulated because we are thinking, well, you know, I can still go down there with the fellas and play dominoes, and they're cussing. They're cussing every time they slam a domino on the board. They're cussing. They're drinking a beer. They got the gin. They got the vodka and all this stuff. They're smoking the hemp. And you right there smoke, breathing and all that stuff, contaminating your soul. God said you got to come out from among them and be separated and touch out the unclean thing. He said, I'll receive you to myself. See, we got to understand that we are different. We're not the same old people that we were. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Understand this. You're walking in the newness of the Spirit. Things are still going to come at you, but they cannot hurt you. They cannot harm you. You must know this because you've been baptized in Jesus' name, covered in his blood. Things still going to come at you. You're still going to have bills that sometimes going to be late. Sometimes you're going to not have them. Enough money to pay your bills, but thank God. I said, God, I thank you because I know you're taking care of this situation. How many times I got to say, well, I said myself, I said, well, I don't have enough money to pay this. I said, but God, I thank you. I lay on the bed. Yesterday I was there, and I said, Lord, I just need you. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need you to give me a little job. Don't have it too big because I got some things I need to do. And I lay back down. And I fell asleep. And a lady called me. She said, well, look, the tenants upstairs on the third floor, the hot water is not hot enough. And the tenant on the second floor, they're having a problem that they're not getting enough water pressure. I said, Lord, I thank you. Before the prayer get out of my mouth, but asking God to set a little job so I can do some things. The phone
was ringing. I didn't hear the phone call. I was tired. And I was sleeping good. And I just got in yesterday. I just got home. And I went clear across the bed and went out. I said, okay. I went and took care of it. Because God, it don't matter. Don't complain. Take your burden to him in prayer. When we get short and we get, they say, we call it lacking. But we don't lack anything. According to the scripture, we don't. Low, when things get low, when the budget get low, go to God. Say, Lord, the budget is low. The cell phone need to be paid, the water bill, the light bill. Lord, I'm working for you. And Lord, I need some work to come in so I can. And God, I tell you, before you can put down your phone, don't put down the phone and then lay down the bed worrying about the bills. I don't worry about no bills, about any bills. Once I put that phone down, I finish prayer. I said, God have it. God got it. And I go and take up my computer. I turn on. I open the Bible. Because it's fast for me. I mean, notice. I know all the books. And I know where they are, where they're located. But it's faster when I open one of my computers. I can turn the leaves on the computer real fast. I can go to this book or that book real fast. And I study the word. When I'm studying the word, I'm not thinking about the telephone bill got to be paid. I'm not thinking about the water bill. I'm not talking about the light bill, even though it's still got to pay when I finish reading the scripture. But I take that worry. I've given that worry to God, so I'm in the word of God. And all of a sudden, he works everything out for me. He don't just do it for me. He do it for you, too. He do it for you, too. Listen to the word of God because this is sweet. It's good. God's word is just making my spirit jump and bringing so much stuff. He says, sin is no longer your master. Listen to what God is saying. Paul speaking. God is speaking through Paul. He said, sin is no longer, verse 14, is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. See, when we were sinning, look, yesterday I was going somewhere. Man, I tell you, this police car comes up, and he gets behind me, and he's like, he want to push me out the road. So I said, I don't know what's going on with this man. He didn't have the lights on or anything. So all of a sudden, he puts on the light. So I just pull over, get out of the way. So I said, well, if he's pulling me over, I know I ain't got anything that's wrong. My car's got everything on my car's upstairs. Well, he got a call on his radio. So all of a sudden, he pulled around and he's going up the road 100 miles an hour. I mean, I didn't have no fear at all because I know he's pulling me over. He's had a plan to give me some money. Because he can't put me over and put some charge on me unless he's going to give me some money. No, because I'm walking in this walk that I'm telling you about. I'm walking in life. So Paul said, no, you're not on the law. You don't have to work with the law anymore. You're under grace. The law is still there. The law is still functional. The law is still functional, but it's not for you. But why? Because you are doing the things that you don't have to work with the law. The folks that are still doing it and messing up, the law will catch up to them. They will have to pay. Consequence is for when every time they fail and mess up. But when you know you're walking and walking and walking, let me tell you something. The law not for you. It's for the one who has seen it. Understand? Glory to God. So he said, look. My God. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Paul began the text for that because sin of grace about shall we continue in sin, said God forbid. Because people believe that because that they can go and repent, you know, some folk believe this stuff, Providence. Some folk believe that because they can repent, they can go and sin. Say, I'm going to sin, man, because all I got to do is just go repent. God will forgive me. One time that grace going to run out. Because guess what? You might go sinning, and next thing you know, you get into an accident or somebody shooting and some, we call them ricochet bullets, hit you and you die. Guess what happened? You're going to hell because that's your last appointment you had with the devil, sin. You didn't have a chance to respond. So why are you going to go and put yourself back in the position to sin again, taking a chance with eternity? You hear what I'm saying to you today? I'm going to do a part two of this because I have so many scriptures on this. I can't give you all today. I'll give you some. And then glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, don't you realize that you become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You know, sometimes, I got to highlight this on the Bible, verse 16. Sometimes we find ourselves, because it looks like the people sitting out there, and they're laughing, they're smiling, they're jumping, they're skipping, all this stuff. They're doing all this stuff, and it looks like they're happy. But truth, if you think about your time past when you were given, when you have given all of who you are, your mind, body, and soul to sin, all Friday night, Saturday night, you know that next morning, man, you was making that awful song, what I did last night. You know that song we make. All your money gone. You got to lie to your girlfriend, lie to your wife, lie to the children, because you can't even take them over to the ice cream parlor. You have no money. You know how bad it was. You thought you was having a good time, but the morning after, the hangover, the brokenness, pockets empty. You have withdrawn so much from the ATM machine. You got all zeros now. You know how bad it was. It was no joy. So when you see them laughing and jumping, they're not really happy. That's just to hide the pain. That laughing and jumping and skipping is only to hide the pain that they're feeling. But you have real joy. People were cutting up in their mouths, said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. They had real joy. You got real joy. You may not have what you want right now, but you have what you need. You have real joy. Don't complain. Instead of complaining of what you don't have, praise God for what you have. Praise Him for what you have. You want to have $5,000 or $10,000 in your pocket, but you only got $5. Say, God, I thank you. I have $5. I can still go to Hardee's and want them to buy a burger. Oh, some little sandwich. Sometimes they got two for two or two for four. You can go and get a sandwich. Thank God, at least you're not going to be hungry for that day, for that moment. Instead of complaining, say, God, I thank you for this. Only $5 I have in my wallet. I only have $50 in my bank account. Lord, I thank you. But Lord, I thank you that I know that you're my provider. And I know, Lord, that you're not going to let my bank account stay at $50 for too long. You're not going to let me just only have $5 in my wallet. Lord, I know you're gonna make a way for me out of no way. Lord, I can't really see the way in the natural, but in the spirit realm, God, I can see you pouring blessings down on me right now. God, I just thank you. I praise you, oh God, for ordering my steps. Lord, you take me to that path where that, Lord, everything that I need is already provided for me, Lord God. God, show me the door that I need to go through to get my provisions, oh God. Oh, my Lord, you got to, hallelujah. Don't wait. He says, thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you are wholeheartedly, you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourself be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourself to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. See, there's a change. We talked about that yesterday in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We have to be completely changed. We need to be changed from the inside. It's no sense going down to Nordstrom or Macy's or Sears or one of them clothing stores and buying all that or what do you call it, USA Suits. It's no sense going out Suits today or Jones of New York. It's no sense going to those fancy places and buying new dresses and new suits and new shoes and stuff and dressing up the outside. It's just like a dressed up garbage can. It's still filthy on the inside. You paint the garbage can red, white, and blue, like the flag. You know, it's look good on the outside and you put tires on it, but on the inside it's still a stinking filthy garbage can. So what we want to do, we want to be cleansed on the inside. We want the inside to be cleaned up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that, my God, that it begins to glow, that it's so much oil on the inside of us, spiritual oil, that it begins to come out our pores in our face, and it begins to show in our eyes and on our lips, my God, that when people look upon us, they can see that God is renewing us. He's changing us. He's taking us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We can see that God is doing a mighty work in us. Because why? We have totally surrendered all to him. Not some. We ain't just giving him some. We give him all. We have surrendered all A-double-L to God. Hallelujah. Some of us want to just give him some. He said, let me read this one again for you, verse 19 in the NLT New Living Translation. He said, because of your of the weakness of your human nature, talking about your flesh. Okay? Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. He said, previously, you let yourself be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, things that are not of God, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourself to be slaves to righteousness, living so that you will become holy. Change partners. Change partners. I saw some Christian girls. Excuse me. You got to call them so-called Christian girls. And they're twerking. You know, they're bending over and got their two cheek butt cheeks just a-jumping. Jumping like a springboard. But they call themselves church girls or women of God. No, we can't do that stuff. Men, you got to dress appropriately. You can't have these tight pants like that pushes on and all your dung is hanging down, showing. Put on an underwear on your body. Put good underwear to hold your private parts in order. You're going in God's house. Who are you trying to attract? Women, put some type of stuff on that your breast cleavage is not shown in God's house. Who are you trying to do? You're trying to distract the pastor, the preacher? Who are you trying to attract? God don't need that stuff. God needs your praise. He needs your worship. That's all he needs. But we go on there like we go into a nightclub. We need to relieve the nightclub, but the nightclub is still enough. Hallelujah. I didn't know where that come from, but God just dropped that in my spirit. We are supposed to be the righteousness of God. We are who God said we are. Are we? Well, then dress like it, be like it, talk like it, act like it. Treat people the way that God would treat them. Jesus said you got to act this. Just like I act. You got to talk like I talk. You can't be the same. He told Peter, said Peter, you can't be the same. Peter always wanted to fight. Peter always wanted to fight. He said, Peter, you can't do that anymore. You can't act like that anymore, Peter. He told Peter, somebody just come on, got the phone number block, or I don't know who it is. They got the number block. Well, let me stay there. If you can't show your number, let me stay there. He says, look. Oh, my God, I like this so bad. He says, when you were slaves to sin, verse 20, you were free from the obligations to do right. Ooh, that's a place to check ourselves right there. Deacon Fred said, check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's a place for us to check ourselves. He said, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Now you're going to look at it the other way now. Now I'm walking in righteousness. I don't have no obligation to sin. I'm not even thinking about it. Hallelujah. He said, and what was the result? You were not ashamed, no ashamed. You are no ashamed of the things you used to do. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, I can just talk about me. Sometimes I think about the stuff I, man, committing adultery, fornicating, lying, gambling, playing the dice, stud poker, tunk, roaming, all that stuff for money, running with all these different women. I said, I look, what's a man taking me all that time? And never one time did he let me come down with venereal disease. Do you hear what I'm talking about? And then you look back and say, I can't believe that I lived that lifestyle before. And I'm looking around and thinking, I promise all these people that I used to get high with, actually there's only about two, maybe if the street is enough, more than enough, maybe two people left from all the, and I'm talking about a lot of men and women that I used to get high with. And only about two of them, or three of them is still alive. But God kept me on this side of the grave. Listen to what he says, listen to what he says. Glory to God. Oh, my God. Please pray. Oh, God. He said, and what was the result? You are now ashamed of these, of the things you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. You know, when you think about where we were, I know we got some folk that used to live, used to do the stuff in the world just like I did. And when you think, when we think about where we are in Christ, we are not where we want to be yet. But thank God we are not where we used to be. But we find some joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We find some joy in where we are right now in him. And we are God. We have great expectations where we're going to be later in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're walking in the light, no longer in the darkness. Hallelujah. We are being changed from glory to glory and from faith to faith. He's perfecting us each day. He's making us a little better than we were the day before because we are seeking him. We're not doing this today and not tomorrow. Every day we are seeking his face. We're not trying to get his hand. God, give me some more money. God, I want more this morning. We're not even seeking power. We're seeking discernment because we want to see what the enemy is doing to our sisters and brothers that are lackadaisious. Because we got a lot of brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that they're lackadaisious. You know, they're comfortable. They go to work and they go to church. They go to work, they go to church. And they think that's all. It's more than that. You got to spend time with the Savior. You can't wait till Sunday morning to go to church or Wednesday midweek service or Saturday morning to go to the building. Got to find time. All through the week, you got to find time to be with him one-on-one, having a conversation. Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples. And he pulled them from everywhere. Every day he was teaching them. Not one day he was not with them. Every day he was teaching them. Because he said when he leads them, they will have just what they need to continue in the way. Hallelujah. You can't get this thing on Sunday morning and Wednesday alone. You have to have this thing every single day. You got to go in there and search the scripture for yourself. Don't find time. You can find time to go sit down in the park and fool around. Take your Bible with you. Open your cell phone. Open your cell phone while you're sitting in the park. Hallelujah. You're sitting in the parking lot. Open your cell phone and open the Bible. Read some scriptures. Let me give you the last scripture here. Let me see where we are. I'm going to give you the last scripture for this, for today. We got a lot of scripture we want to give you, but we're not going to give you a lot today. We go to another book today, and then we'll start. Let's give this one from last week. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If you continue in sin, you will die. Now, we're not just talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death because everybody we know is going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die sometime or another. Next month, I will be, God willing, if God keep me in the land of the living, I will be 74 years old. 74 years old. Was running up from the first floor from the basement yesterday on the job. And I thank God for health and strength because there's some people younger than I am, and they can't do what I can do. And next month, the God's willing, and he chooses to bring me in on the next month to be here, I'll be 74 years. Paul says, Romans chapter 7, now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? No, you can't get any correction when you're dead. You cannot be charged for anything when you're dead. That's it. They can't arrest you, put you in a cell, none of that. While you are here, you have to walk in a way that pleases God. He said, for example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer applies to her. Now, this is to say, if the man is living according to God's word, now if he is out there in fidelity, God gave her the right to divorce. But if she just said, well, I want to leave my husband, I want to leave my wife and go get to another woman, well, he's an adulterer. She's an adulterer. So while the husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. We just read the scripture in Romans 6 and 23. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captives to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the spirit. See, we in the spirit now. Hallelujah, glory to God. Where you in the spirit, you are walking righteous. Holiness is the outcome of righteousness. You understand? We are obedient to the law, the very law. Jesus said he did not come to abandon the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Law is fulfilling Christ. So we have to walk righteous, do the thing that pleases God. Oh, a lot of people say, well, I please my pastor. My pastor said, I please my pastor. Well, what about God? And they like the pastor when the pastor says, well, you know, you can do. Lord, you come to church, you're all right. You do what makes you happy. Lord, you come to church. Let me tell you something. Don't care what the people say. You have to obey this book. This is your manuscript for living. People saying that, I hear them out there, all types of people. I don't criticize the people that live and contribute to how I'm living. Because my life wasn't always teaching and preaching the gospel. You hear me say it all the time. I was a crack user, and I called myself a crackhead. I should call myself that. You know, I says I let a little stone that couldn't walk and couldn't talk
used to lead me all around the house, all around the place. A little stone, a little white stone that couldn't walk and couldn't talk, but it had control of my mental faculties. I would have done anything when I was in an addiction to get my fix. I didn't come to nobody's house, but I took things out of my house, and I took them to the pawn shop. You understand? I remember one time I took my wife's wedding ring when she was out in the shower, took it out the bathroom and took it to the pawn shop and pawned it. Never got it back because I thought that I could, you know, my sickness had told me that if you can get the coke, you can cook the coke and you can smoke it up, and if you are, and you can get money back and go back to the pawn shop and get it back before she missed it. You know, that's how sick I was. But God delivered me from that thing that had me in bondage and set me free. Do you hear me? I had to tell you that today, but the Lord just is here. Because somebody's going through, somebody out there today that's still in heavily addiction, methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, LSD, whatever they're using, alcohol, marijuana, whatever drug they're vaping, whatever they're doing, and they can't get off. But I come to tell that Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is life. He is the only way that can set, only one that can set you free. I went into four or five different, maybe, I don't know, maybe six different treatment facilities trying to find my way. And it wasn't until one time I went into Salvation Army and spent 11 months in Salvation Army. And a young man, he died. He was a heroin addict. And God delivered him from heroin. He became an elder in the church. Told me one day I was sitting in the chapel at Salvation Army. This is a very fancy Salvation Army in Alexandria, Virginia. And I was sitting in the chapel. He came in there. He said, "What's happening, Brother Dave? Are you all right?" He always used to kick it with you like that. He always said, and he always have a big smile on his face. He said, "What's happening, Brother Dave?" I said, I'm all right. I'm all right." He said, "How you doing?" I said, I'm okay. You know, we always think we're so okay. But I was still heavy because I couldn't go home. My family didn't want me back home the way I left home as an addict. We'll do a part two of this tomorrow, the Lord says. And he prayed with me. I thought he was going to pray for the Lord to just take away my desire to use cocaine. But he prayed for me, for Jesus to come into my heart. First he asked me if I knew Jesus. I know him, you know, but I don't really know him like that, you know. Because, you know, everybody could tell they know Jesus, but they don't even have a really personal relationship with Jesus. You know, they know his name is Jesus, and they say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," but they don't really have a personal relationship with him. Because when you have a personal relationship with Jesus, your life is not the same. You change. You know, I was the master sinner. I'm telling the truth. I was a master sinner. I had a degree in sinning. I had a degree in sinning. And I know that if God can change me, that's just the way I talk or speak. If God can change me, he can change anybody. I don't care what your vice is. I don't care what your sin is. He can change you if you call upon his name in repentance. That's the kind. I don't knock the homosexual, the lesbians, the fornicators, adulterers, the ones who are selling dope, the one who is gangbanging and all this. I don't knock them. I pray for them. I love every one of them. I love everybody. I know people say, "Well, you can't love... you can't love the gang bang. You got to love everybody because you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You don't love what they do, you know. I got a niece that is a lesbian, and she's pretty as silk. I mean, pretty. She should be on a magazine cover. But I tell her every time I go to the island, you know, I was just there. I give her some money and stuff. But I told her, "Girl, you can't contend this." She said, "I'm all right. I'm happy." I told her, "Sister, but if you live, you call that happiness. If you continue living to death, you'll end up in hell." And you just got to tell the truth. You know, you don't hate nobody. You don't hate nobody. You got to tell them the truth. Jesus said he come to seek and to save that which is lost. All of us is lost. Every single one of us. None of us have found ourselves. You hear what I say? One man told me, he says, "I can remember when I found God." I said, "Man, let me tell you something. God was never lost. You ain't never found God. God was never lost. God found you where you were, and he extended a hand of grace, of love to you so that you can come out of that, out of the cold, out of darkness, you know. And the same thing he did for me. for me were different. He come in the crack house, and he got me. He told me I can't never get high. And I heard it in my spirit because, you know, I was raised up in church, but the church was never in me. Do you hear what I'm saying? I was raised up in the church, but the church was never in me. I was going because my mama wanted me to go because all of my other relatives was going to church, and they looked good. They had, you know, a lot of them had money and stuff, and they had the kids dress up nice. And my mama wanted to feel like she was doing something. That was the last child, and she wanted to make sure that I didn't come out like the rest. The rest, my other three brothers was alcoholics and stuff. My sister, you know, she was doing her own thing, and she wanted me to be different. Thank God that the little that I've been that I got, a little understand that Jesus truly is the way and that he is the life. He's the truth and the life. So church was never in me, was never in me. So I said, man, I know of him. I didn't know him. But once I got to know him, my life began to change. My life began to change because when you give your life to Christ and allow Christ to enter your heart, your life begins to change. It'll never be the same. And you don't have anything in you that make you become despondent to people and don't like people and don't care for people. You can't love Jesus and hate the people because Jesus loves everybody. Everybody. Even Judas. You remember? Judas kissed him and betrayed him. Betrayed him with a kiss. And Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. But he still allowed Judas to kiss him. At the table, he told Judas to look, go and do what you must do. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He said, look, go ahead and do what you're going to do quickly. Go ahead and do it quickly. Go on and do it quickly. But Jesus knew. I want to tell you today that this is a good day for you all. Anyone out there in computer land, everybody on this line, I believe, may be saved. A lot of preachers on there. But if you're out there in computer land and you're not saved, I'm going to do this short today. Just call upon Jesus today. You must repent according to Acts 2 and 38. That's the key. Repent means that you're going to turn away from your sin. None of us are whole. You may preach the word. I might preach the word. We all might preach the word, but none of us are whole. The only one are whole is Jesus. The only one is whole is Jesus. Okay? So what we need to do, what you need to do, is that you need to repent. Tell God that you're sorry. Holy, godly repentance leads to salvation. Okay? So godly sorrow leads to repentance. So you need to come in and say to the Lord that you are sorry. Acknowledge where you are in your life. Peter said to them, he said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, you can't lose. The moment that you repent in the name of Jesus Christ, he gives you a gift. It's always been available to the unbeliever, but they have to repent. And he gives them a gift. The gift, the Holy Ghost, is to help you to understand what he needs done. He said he would bring all things to your remembrance, everything that he has told you. It's in the word. So you have to go into the word to see what Jesus has told us. It's there not only for those disciples and apostles, it's there for us. Have to study the word. Ask Jesus to have mercy on you, to forgive you. Denounce Satan, the one that has been ruler over your life, the one who has been in control of your life. You now got to put him out by denouncing him. Denounce Satan openly. Say, I denounce you, Satan, and your ages and the world system. Everything that it stands for, I denounce. See, we got a thing in our flesh, in our desire, that we're craving for everything in the world. Every time they come up with a new cell phone, we want to trade in the old one. You're still going in more deeper debt. Get a new one. You get one TV in one room, you want to get another TV in another room. We want to keep getting more and more stuff. More and more stuff. And still want to get more and more of Jesus. So we got to work two and three jobs to pay off for all this stuff. We don't have time to study the Bible. We don't have time to fast and pray. We don't have time to seek God. Because we got to work to pay off them bills. You hear what I'm saying today? I know what I'm talking about. Some people, I had some people come to church, and they work two jobs.
two jobs because they want to get all this stuff. And they come into church. They got titles. They ministers and they deacons and the elders. They come into church and they're sleeping in the church. And you got to scream in the microphone to jumpstart them to get them wake up. They come to the altar, can't open their eyes, even at the altar, standing at the altar. I see it on Sunday morning. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Hallelujah. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should have eternal life. Do you hear that? He said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He didn't come here to judge the quick and the dead. He come here to set you free. There's a time for judgment going to come at the end. But he's coming now. He's coming now. He come into this world now. And he was crucified on a cross for all sins. Remember I told you? Power of sin has been destroyed. The power of sin has been destroyed, broken, destroyed at the cross. So he come in this world so that you and I would have access to the tree of life. You can't go to the tree of life and eat and drink from the tree of life without having Jesus. Why? Because he is the tree of life. He is the bread of life. So we have to repent. We got to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And then you got to ask him, invite him into your heart. Remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't want to die spiritual death. We know we're going to die at some time as physical death, but we would be raised up in the last day and be caught up with him and the others in the sky. Hallelujah. We that are saved and sanctified. So we got to get now our heavenly body. Hallelujah. The spirit man will get a heavenly body. So this is why we want to be raised up in the first resurrection according to the Revelation. We don't want to be in the second resurrection because that's where the serious judgment and condemnation going to take place. People are going to be condemned to hell in the lake of fire and brimstone, those that rejected Christ. Those that rejected truth, the word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, that means everybody on the earth. This is why Jesus had to come from his home in glory and come into time, because nobody was pure enough, nobody was holy enough to go on the cross and break the power of sin. See, he didn't have to say a mumbling word because he knew he had the power to defeat the works of the enemy. We cry out, we scream out because we know we don't have the power to break the works of the enemy. But Jesus did that for us. And now today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to call upon him and invite him to come into your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge my sin today before man and before God. My sin is ever before me. There's too much for me to number. But Lord, today I'm laying them at the foot of the cross where you can wash them away with the blood and the water that came out of your side. And I'm asking you, O God, to forgive me according to 1 John 1 and 9 and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me whole. Wash me in your blood. Jesus, I invite you to enter my heart today. Take complete control of my heart. Be the Lord of my life, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I accept you now as my Lord. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross according to the book, O God. I thank you according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. I thank you for dying on the cross and being raised up on the third day for my sins. I thank you, Jesus, for washing me right now. I receive the fresh cleansing of the blood.
And I thank you for saving my soul from damnation. In Jesus' name. If you said that uncommon prayer and you believe it in your heart, what you just said with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. But it's much more than that. You now got to get a Bible of your choice. You know, there's many different versions of the Bible. But you can start with the New King James or the Old King James. But get a Bible, the Amplify, Messenger, the NLT, the Glow Bible, or the Logos Bible, the NLT, any one of the Bible. But get a Bible and invite the Holy Ghost to help you to study. And get into a group of believers that you know, those that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, that will go after Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood. And study your word. It's every chance you get. Sometimes they have some little cliques that they have little house people, like four or five people, they have little house study, Bible study. You can get into one of those and go there sometimes two, three times a week. And they're studying the Bible on their own time. The pastor not tell them to do it. That's what they do. A lot of places you find that. And so you can grow even faster. And then call up a pastor, preacher, or teacher, and tell them that you will receive the gift of salvation. You're studying the Word of God, but you need to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38. They might tell you that they don't baptize that way. They're baptized according to Matthew 28 and 19. And you say, well, but that's all right. I have to get my family and stuff together. And when I get them together, I get back in touch with you. Don't get mad with the pastor and say, well, the bishop told me or the apostle told me that I got to get baptized according to Acts 2:38. And I don't want to start a big fuss. Don't burn the bridge that you might have to walk back over. The reason why I say that is because the very place that you get argumented with, maybe the place that you may get called to be the pastor, and when they recognize that you're the same man that came there and talked and was disrespectful to the pastor, they might not give you that job. They may not make you the interim pastor. So just leave the bridge open. Say, Pastor, I'll get back in touch with you when I get my family and friends together and I for baptism. But find a pastor that will baptize you according to Acts 2 and 38, because that's your salvation. Don't let nobody baptize you the way they want to baptize. Let you determine the way you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your family, your friends, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because this is the most important part of your life. This will be your new birthday, your spiritual birthday, the day that you get baptized. And after you get baptized, search for a church that is teaching and preaching the gospel. And if you don't find a church, you can always come back to Blog Talk Radio. We are here 6 days, sometimes 7 days. Come on in and listen to us and write down the scriptures and study for yourself. Then you can go back and read or study the scriptures for yourself so you get an understanding by the Holy Spirit. But we try our best to give you as much as we can give you according to the Holy Spirit, because we don't know it all. We are still learning. And we are going to be learning until he takes us out of this world. I just want you to know that. But after you get baptized, find a church that will teach the gospel, because many churches just teaching prosperity. And you need sound doctrine so that you can be a sound person. Now, the grave, the water baptism, we call it liquid grave. So that means that you're going in, dying, like we were just teaching from Romans chapter 6 and 7. You can go in. We give you a lot of scripture that came up in my spirit. But you can go in there. You go in that water. You're dying. You're leaving everything that held you in bondage in this world. You're supposed to leave in that water, in that grave. And when you come up out that grave, you're coming up in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, in the Lord through Christ Jesus. I'm telling you something. It's an experience that I can't tell you, because when I got baptized, I took off. When I come out that water, I didn't even know. People say all this stuff happened. I said, well, I find it out for myself. I mean, this thing happened to me, and I took off running, jumping, and shouting. And they said, leave him alone. The Holy Spirit is dealing with him. And I was never the same after that day. Never the same. Didn't want to do all the stuff that I wanted to do before. I didn't want to do, because the Holy Spirit took hold of my heart. Thank God for each and every one. Thank God for Brother Mark over in Buffalo, New York. We thank God for him coming on with us, and Minister Jones. Prophetess Kersey was on with us, but she jumped off. And somebody's come on here, was on there. We had about eight or nine people on there. Come on there, with it blocking out their number. I mean, somebody don't want you to know who they are, but that's all right. They hear the word. So anyway, we thank God for you all. I'm finished mumbling, and the line is open for anyone that wants to come on in. You can come on in at any time, and you can respond, put two pennies more, and help me to grow. Help me to grow. Put in what you hear. The line is open. We have a lot of people on the line, but nobody's seeing anything. This word was cutting, huh? So nobody's seeing anything. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you've given us. We bless and praise your holy name. God, we ask you, God, to continue to speak to us, speak through us. We yield to you, Lord. We give our heart, mind, body, and soul to you. And God, we thank you for using us for your glory. Father, we don't profess to be anything more than you said we are. And we thank you, Lord, for looking at us in the frailty of our stature, Lord God, and pouring into us so that we can continue to grow, and so that those that hear us and hear your word will grow even the more, Father. We thank you, Father God, for pouring into your people, because your people need more of you and less of this world. We need more of you and less of this world. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you for, oh, God, to taking time, oh, God, to even stop by us today. And every day that we come, Lord, that you stop by to give us a part of you, oh, God, so that we can live a little longer, oh, God. We thank you, God, for overflowing us now, overflowing us with your presence, with your anointing, with your glory. Oh, Father, we ask, God, as we leave this line today, God, bless the United States of America. Bless the president. Bless the vice president. Bless the Congress, the senators. Oh, God, bless the Supreme Court Justice Department. Father, we are praying right now, oh, God, that you continue, oh, God, to manifest yourself in this nation. God, let this people come alive to the things that are righteous, oh, God. We ask you, God, to pour into this nation, oh, God. Let your glory come forth, oh God, that men and women would know that you are the great I am, that you are the lily of the valley, that you are the early morning star, that you are the land of the tribe of Judah, that you are the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Father, we pray today for, oh God, for we pray and thank you, oh God, for touching our angel, Prophetess Kersey's daughter, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're still healing. You're still restoring. You're still strengthening her. Lord, we thank you for the Prophetess Kersey. And thank you for Minister Jones. Thank you, Lord, that he's busy out there in the field working, driving that tractor trailer. We ask, God, that you continue to send mercy, supernatural mercy upon his life, oh God. Unmerited favor upon his life, oh God, that while he's out there, Lord, that no hurt, no surprises will come to him when he's in the parking lot, Lord. Nobody would come to try to harm him, oh God, to cause any danger to him, oh God, any hurt to him. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you continue to watch over him. Keep him safe and secure, oh God. God, watch over his wife, oh God, while she's out there in the field, oh God, on her job. Lord, we ask, Father God, watch, keep everything that concerns him, oh God. Oh, God, safe and secure, God. You promise, oh, God, to keep him, oh, God, in perfect peace that his mind is stayed on you. Father, we pray for Brother Mark. Lord, we ask you to continue to strengthen him, continue to raise him up, oh, God. Continue to empower him, oh, God, and all that you have prepared for him. Let him see, let him know, and Lord, let him experience, oh God, your glory. Let him experience your love, your compassion, your mercy, your grace, oh God. Let it come upon him, and let him grow up, oh God, and let him grow in, oh God, the things of God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that, oh God, all that he is lacking, oh God, that you provide for him, God, because you are the greatest provider, Lord God. God, you give us more than we deserve. We ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for you to bless, oh God, Mark, oh God. Bless Mark. I ask you, God, to make a supernatural turnaround for him in every area of his life, oh God. Lord, you're the great commander and chief, oh God. And Lord, you cannot fear. You can do all things but fear. Lord, we thank you and praise you, O God, for what you're doing right now. In Jesus' holy name. Father, we ask, Lord God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God, that you continue to pour out on us. Pour out on us, Lord God. We need more of you, Lord. We need more of you. We need you to, O God, enrich us in the things of heaven while we are here on earth, O God. Pour out,
O God, the oil of heaven, the oil from the throne room upon our lives, O God, that people would know. They would see the manifestation of your glory upon our lives, O God, and they would know that we are yours, O God, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Jesus, have your way continually in our lives, O God, and we will continue to praise you. We will continue to glorify you. We will continue to exalt you, Jesus. We continue to give you praise, honor, and glory because you are worthy. You are worthy. Now, Father, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We ask you to continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And, Father, we ask you for the blessings that are coming to us, to Evangelist Tina. Let those funds be released, O God, not so that we can be braggadocious, but so that we can be helpful to those that are less fortunate than us, O God. And Father, as you do this, O God, we will praise you, we will glorify you, we will exalt you. Lord, we will let you know, O God, of your love towards us, how we are excited and we are delighted for all that you have done for us, all that you are doing for us, O God. We pray today, O God, for Africa and India and China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq and Iran. We pray for Syria. We pray for Jerusalem. O God, we pray, O God, yes, Lord, Brazil. We pray for the Philippine Islands. We pray, O God, for Amsterdam. Yes, Lord, for France, Lord. We pray for Germany, Lord. We pray for Canada, Lord, we pray for all the Caribbean islands, all over Europe, Lord God, all over Africa, the whole continent of Africa, Lord. We ask you, God, to manifest your glory, God. Remove every witch, every warlock, every soothsayer, even here in the United States. Remove those soothsayers and those warlocks, oh God. Remove them from their positions, oh God. We ask you to pull up and uproot and pull down. Tear down, O God, all those forces of evil, O God, that is causing your people to run into darkness. O God, we pray today in the name of Jesus, O God, that you cover our young people, cover our children and grandchildren, cover the teachers and the students. God, we pray for those nurses, O God. I just read something that this nurse has been charged for killing several babies. Just murdering several babies. We just pray today, O God, that the nurses and the doctors, O God, will be held accountable, O God, for every fault that they make. They're making money by killing the babies to get the birth cord and all these different parts of the babies. But we pray today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that they would be removed from their offices, O God. They will lose their license and be in prison for committing those crimes, crimes against humanity. Lord, we pray for every sex trafficker, Lord God. We pray, oh God, that you bind up every force of evil, every darkness that's in the earth, oh God, that you bind it up, oh God. And Lord, that you loose the light of heaven here on earth, oh God. We pray for the light of heaven to come to earth, oh God, that men begin to see and hear and receive the power of heaven, the light, oh God, that cause men to be able to see and know where they're going. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Father, we glorify you. Father, we honor you this time. We honor you, O God, as always, O God, as the great I am. We honor you as the lily of the valley. We honor you as the early morning star. We honor you as the lion of the tribe of Judah. We honor you this morning, O God. We ask you, O God, to continue to watch over us. Continue to keep us, O God. Continue to shield us, O God. Oh, Father, we ask you, O God, this morning, Lord, let not the enemy rejoice over us, O God, for we are your children, O God. We are the ones that you paid the ultimate price for when you send your son to go to Calvary, O God. We ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you, O God, continue to keep us, secure us, O God. Watch over us, O God, and shield us from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. We come against sickness and disease, O God. We come against all the works of the enemy. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for restoration, Lord. We thank you for the healing balm of Gilead. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done at the cross, O God, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Father, we bless you today. We bless you today. We bless you today. We ask you to open doors for Brother Mark. Open doors for Brother Mark, oh God. Give him a reason to praise you. Give him a reason to glorify you, oh God. Open doors for him, oh God, that no one can close. Open doors that no one can close and close doors that no one can open. Lord God, cause him to rejoice, oh God. Give him a reason to rejoice. God, you are no respecting for person. What you did for one, you will do for the other. So we ask you, God, today in the precious name of Jesus, to give him a reason to rejoice, oh God. I know you can do it, Lord. I know you can do it. So I'm calling, Lord, I ask you to protect my family. Lord God, protect all of my family. Oh, yes, Lord, we pray, Father God, protect all of my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Lord God, we are praying today in the name of Jesus. Oh God, for your power, your glory, your anointing, oh God. Yes, Lord, we ask you to rain down in this house. Rain down in this house. Move from the front to the back, from the bedroom to the living room, to the dining room, to the kitchen, to the bathroom. Oh, God, go everywhere, to the closets, Lord. We ask you to go through the crevices of this home, oh, God. And, God, we ask you to root any satanic agenda, any satanic assignment, any spirit hiding in the corner, in the crevices of this home, God. We command it to leave in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over every corner, every crack, every crevice, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to have control. God, we ask you to touch our body, touch our knees, touch our elbows or ankles or hip bone or backbone or neck bone. We ask you to heal us from the inside out, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we lift up evangelist, prophetess, Tawana Anderson, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you heal her, God. We ask you to protect her, open her wisdom eyes, a great woman of God over in Louisiana. Oh God, we ask, oh God, that you let give her the spirit of discernment, that you see every trick of the enemy, oh God, that she be not deceived, oh God. We pray, Father God, for her mother, for her father, for her sisters, for her daughters and grandchildren, God. We pray for everything that concern her, oh God, for her fiance. We pray for all of them, oh God. We pray, God, that you move by your spirit, oh God. Oh God, that you light up her path, oh God, that your word be a lamp unto her feet and light unto her path, God. We pray this morning for Apostle Stewart, Apostle Joy Stewart. We pray for Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington. Lord, we ask for your power. We ask for your authority. We ask, oh God, for the oil of heaven to rest upon their ministries, oh God. We pray for Brother Deacon Frazier and for his mother, and oh God, for all the family members. He lost his father recently, and we pray, oh God, that you begin to move, oh God, move upon his ministry. We ask, oh God, that you give him a hunger and thirst for righteousness, that he begin to get at his post, oh God, on Friday night and Saturday night, and that he'll be there, oh God, so that people can come in here, a praying word from the Lord, oh God, for their soul, to energize them for the beginning of the week, God. We praying today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you be established, oh God. Let God be truth and every man be a liar, God. We pray today in the name of Jesus that you do it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Move by your spirit, oh God. And Father, we pray, Lord, for the police officers, those that are out there in the field, oh God, going out there to protect and serve. We ask you, oh God, let them protect and serve. And God, we ask that you protect them while they're out there in the streets, in the corridors of this nation, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you remove the bad police officers. There's some corrupt police officers, and even in the government, God, we ask you to remove the corrupt senators and congressmen, oh God, that all they desire is to make money while they are deceiving the public. We ask you, Father God, to, God, bring a change in our nation, oh God, and bring our nation back to you, God. God, the people cannot come. They cannot come for your words. No one can come except you draw them. So, God, we ask you to draw the people back to you. Draw this nation back to you. Cause them people to come back. Cause the nation to come back and bow. Come back to the altar and begin to bow, oh, God. Those that call themselves Christians and acting like devils, we ask you, oh, God, to bring them to their knees, oh, God. Bring them to their knees, oh, God. Whatever you have to do, if it's got to be a tornado, if it has to be an earthquake, if it has to be a tsunami, if it has to be a hurricane, if it has to be, oh God, tornado, whatever it got to be, Lord God, do what you have to. You have to erupt a volcano in our nation, oh God. Do what has to be done to bring the people back to the knees, oh God, that Satan will not rejoice and say that he has taken God's people. Lord, we ask you, God, oh God, take away laughter from Satan. Take it off his lips, oh God, that he will no longer be able to laugh at your people, oh God. We ask you, Father God, to move. move by your spirit, oh God, and save us from damnation, oh God. We receive you each day, oh God, as our Lord and our Savior. We continue to glorify you. We continue to honor you, oh God, because there's no one worthy of honor, glory, and praise but you. And Father, as we leave this line now, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we continue to dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in the ear gates of someone that will stop them or hinder them from committing suicide, might stop them from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that all the characteristics of Jesus Christ must be seen in our walk. We preach about it today. When you walk, people ought to see Jesus in your walk. They ought to see, hear Jesus in your talk. Hallelujah. Your walk and your talk ought to line up. This is what it's saying. You know, let people see the Jesus in you. We used to sing a song back in Virginia, Washington, D.C. The Jesus in me. Love the Jesus in you. It's so easy. It's so easy. It's so easy. Easy to love the Jesus in me. Love the Jesus in you. It's so easy. It's so easy. You're so easy to love. Well, God bless you all. I've done all that I could do today. A lot of people came on the line today, about 9-10 people, but nobody responded. But I know the word was strong, and the word today was the power of sin had been broken at the cross. The power of sin had been broken at the cross. And if you didn't hear the word today, go back on Blog Talk Radio when I post it on Facebook, and you can download it. You can listen to it, and you can post it on your page. Send it to somebody, please. Let somebody hear this word. This was a strong word from the Lord. Post it so somebody can get it. Don't just listen to the word for yourself. Give it to somebody else. God give it to you. So he said you receive so that you can give. That's why you're blessed. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. And I hope to see you all tomorrow. We'll be back on tomorrow at the regular time at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And till about 3:30 or when the Lord allows to go off, because if nobody's seen anything, we just pray and close up. But we thank God. We pray for everybody today, for all the nations that we could recall. We call all the nations and continents. We call them out before the Lord. And we pray for your healing. We pray for your deliverance. We pray for your restoration. We pray that God will bless you. Bless you in the city and bless you in the field, that God will make you the head and not the tail, that he will set you above and not beneath. He will make you the lender and not the borrower. I pray all for everyone today. So have a blessed day. I'm going to go relax my throat because I got to preach tomorrow. Again, you know, we teach every day on this line. We teach every single day on this line because our desire is that somebody might hear the word and somebody might say, what must I do to be saved and receive the gift of salvation? God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Look forward to seeing you all on tomorrow here on Blog Talk, Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. God bless you. Bye-bye.